a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. We actually have real basketball and basketball statistics and results that we can actually harp on now that the first week and or 2 weeks of the NBA regular season has passed us. I am your co-host, Andrew Reich, and I am joined by my co-host, Adam Murray. Adam, for this first 2 weeks, how do you feel? Where's your excitement rate?
Oh, extremely excited to have basketball back in our lives.
You're not doing like a humble, sarcastic thing, huh? Like, you actually are legitimately happy that basketball's back.
It's funny, like, maybe because I live in Boston, the Boston area, but people here are actually, like, want to talk about basketball as opposed to, oh, no, here's Adam. He's going to talk basketball. We'll just smile and nod. Like, people are like...
Yeah, because they just don't have too many things to talk about in Boston right now other than, you know, the Patriots and the Red Sox almost winning another world, like, on the fringe... knock on wood of winning another World Series, and what the Bruins are playing hockey, right? That's the sport that the Bruins play, right?
Bruins are playing hockey.
Boston College is good. but, you know, the funny part is, I don't want to say the Celtics got buried, but it's one of these things where, you know, the start for the Celtics has – you know, I feel like they've been somewhat tame, you know, like just a little bit. Like, I see the talent, obviously, because I predicted they would go to the finals. But, you know, I do feel like there's a little bit of reserved judgment about the Celtics so far, including the fan base. I don't feel like the fan base is freaking out either.
Well, the fan base is busily, like you said, busily distracted with other things. But people have been coming to me like, you know what, Adam, you've been right. They look terrible. They can't rebound for anything. Like, yeah, I know. That's what happens when you have, you know, Gordon Hayward, Tatum, and Brown out there. You have to either shoot all your threes, or if you start missing shots, your team, you're done. Like, yeah, they're down 20. They look terrible.
Yeah, their offense is like 29th in score. Now, listen, this is our fifth season that we're doing the NBA Team Podcast, self high five. But it's one of these things where in the first 2 weeks or week of the season, then you do one of these recap episodes. Of course, you have a small sample size, but I'm not going to sit here and, you know, pass along like information and all these nuggets of info like this is the end all be all of how the NBA season is going to be. But it's always fun, even if it's something really stupid and trivial, like the fact that, you know, like Montrezl Harrell is like averaging a double-double, things like that. Then again, maybe Montrezl Harrell would be good for the Clippers. I don't know.
We said he would be good, and he's going to be one of the more improved players.
But you know what I'm saying. There's always those kinds of, like, outliers. But, you know, there are some things, and this is going to be kind of the focus of the show, this episode, where we're going to focus on a few different things that we've noticed, and we're just going to see if it's real news or fake news for the most part.
All right. Fair enough.
We could go with the Celtics.
Can we start with breaking news?
Can you break something?
Can we start with the breaking news of Tyronn Lue being fired after six games?
You know, yeah, this is a Sunday that we're recording this, and this happened Sunday morning after they went 0-7. Are they 0-7 or 0-6?
I think they're 0-6, and then the ownership just said, you're done.
I'm actually, to be honest, I am actually surprised. I thought they would be a little bit more patient with this. Now, listen, 0-4 to start the first 2 weeks of the season is pretty rough, no doubt. But that team, it was one of those things where you could tell early on that team was going to be bad. I guess Dan Gilbert thinks they could have been something more.
That's sort of the thing is, well, we gave Kevin Love the extension. How bad can you be? We traded for George Hill. We got Jordan Clarkson and the Larry Nance All-Stars. Mm-hmm. We didn't let anybody go other than LeBron. So
was Tyronn Lue the one who signed Larry Nance to an extension when literally nobody else got an extension that's having their restricted free agency come up?
You know, so it's one of those things, like, how can you blame him for this terrible team that LeBron put together? You need more than six games to get all these new pieces in.
That is a good point. I do feel like a lot of that blame is being like immediately dumped on Dan Gilbert, when the truth is, yes, he did allow a lot of the moves by Colby Altman and then the departed GM David Griffin. But really, these were LeBron's moves, especially those trade deadline moves involving Clarkson and Hill. Like, that was all LeBron. So there is a little bit of blame I would put on LeBron for leaving this behind.
Yeah, and you know, you see, you know, they're starting Cedi Osman, and he's been getting, you know, good minutes. He's going to get good numbers too. You have Colin Sexton. Okay, so we need to try to put all these new pieces in. Considering LeBron had a usage rate of what, 98%,
it's going to take. Kevin Love's kind of back to his Minnesota like usage, but here's the problem: he's shooting 32% from the field. So I mean, that's not good for your star player.
No, it isn't, but. It's one of those things, like, I don't know how you know, they did the same thing with David Blatt. It's just, well, it's your fault they're not doing. Yeah, we know, you know, okay, to be fair, we know Tyronn Lue can't coach and has no real place on anything. So it was just,
I think he's a good offensive game plan type of a coach. I think his after timeout play call up, like, write ups are pretty good. But yeah, I get your point. I don't know how great of a head coach he really, really is.
But you need to give him more than, you know, he had like, what, 3 years, like another 14, 13 million left on his contract. There was no reason to get rid of him, other than the only thing was ownership said, well, why are we should be in the playoffs. We should still be a good team. How are we not a good team? Well, it's obvious why you wouldn't be good. Yeah, it is surprising. And, you know, I was going to say, for your real news, fake news, I think it's
this
sort
is
of
real.
It's real news that it's a surprise that the team is this bad, but we sort of expected to have bumps. What are you going to do with old people versus these new people? You know, George Hill doesn't want to be there, and J.R. Smith, who probably doesn't even know LeBron's even gone.
Well, you know who the interim coach is. It's our friend Larry Drew. Didn't we name drop him? We were talking about the Bucks and the Hawks, because he had left the Hawks because the Hawks were rebuilding when they hired Budenholzer. So Larry Drew kind of went over to the Bucks, and then the new Bucks owners fired him, and they hired Jason Kidd. You remember that?
Yeah, Larry Drew couldn't get along with anybody.
He's like Keith Smart, and who just seemed to always pop up as an interim. The other one is Bickerstaff, who's now coaching with the Grizzlies. There always seems those interims that are pretty good, and they always kind of pop up at just the right time. And here we are again with Larry Drew, NBA head coach.
But yeah, it's just like the team's not going to get any better under him.
I agree.
You don't need to have a fire sale. You just have log jams. Where are we going to do a youth movement? What are we going to, you know, you have to, without LeBron, you have to change your complete style of game. So you can't just expect to lose your centerpiece and then, well, we can just wrap around it and be good.
And David Griffin, he's excellent on NBA Game Time on NBA TV. And they were talking about their most recent loss, and he said it, that they just don't have an identity. That's the first thing he noticed immediately. Is that there's no identity that you can tell when you watch the Cavaliers, and that was their biggest problem. And then a day later, Lou is out. Now, I don't think Altman's going to be out too. I feel like that he's under Gilbert's thumb, and this is going to be the beginning of what I guess you could call a soft reboot, because you can't get rid of Love's contract, and you probably can't even get rid of J.R. Smith's contract. I think you can trade away Tristan Thompson.
You can trade away J.R. Smith. You could get rid of George Hill. To Kevin Love, you can't get rid of him. You just signed him to a first year.
You're stuck with him. It's done. Yeah.
So, okay. Now I can get into your...
The Celtics are 29th in scoring, but they're by far the best defensive team, defensive efficiency-wise, in the league. So is this real news or fake news that the Celtics have a god-awful offense but a terrific defense?
They have sort of – well, you know, Gordon Hayward coming back is going to – you know, it changes your – another team just doesn't have an identity right now is the Celtics, because he's – you know, he was a cornerstone. All of a sudden, well, you need to now fit in. Kyrie coming back from injury, he – is sort of playing like trash. Jaylen Brown can't hit anything.
Rozier is just not getting a lot of minutes, surprisingly.
No, he's neither is Marcus Smart right now, because I think they're trying to figure out, how do we get this lineup in, and then you have to get Morris in for rebounding. So
Now granted, there's only been, for Boston's sake, 6 games so far, and one of them, a lot of the starters didn't play because it was garbage time, like it was elongated garbage time, because they blew out a then undefeated Detroit Pistons team, which just goes to show how good the Celtics can be when they want to be. You know, but I don't think this is one of these, like, you know, LeBron-esque, like, turn the switch on, turn the switch off type of teams. Unless you believe so.
I don't think it's going to be one of those. I have the one that says that they're going to have a problem, and you know they've sort of shown they're built to beat the Warriors. They're built to beat small, faster teams. That's why they just picked through Philly, who got worse, by the way. It's the tall teams that they're having trouble with.
You talk about Philly, and I'll give you – there's a few things we could talk about with the 76ers. You know, Ben Simmons did sit out one game, and it was probably the most exciting game I'd seen this year so far. It was the Sixers and the Pistons. Went to overtime. Embiid had a nice line, but Blake Griffin went for 50 points and just looked great. But the thing that I want to focus on with Philly, and I hate to really pile on them, but it seems to be popular now. But this will be the fake news, real news debate. Markelle Fultz is a bust.
I don't think he's a bust in the sense of the term of, you know, it could be, you know, these first-year players that come along slow. That way you could say Lonzo's a bust and Josh Jackson's a bust and I forget who was picked fifth. But Tatum sort of blew the, you know.
Yeah, Jonathan Isaac was in there somewhere, yeah.
Isaac was sixth, so.
Yeah.
It's... He threw off the curve so much. Even Frankie Ntilikina, slow. You know, Dennis Smith, flashes. But it was overall, you know, you could say, okay, kind of an overrated class. Once it all boils down to get in the NBA, okay, you know.
But Adam, this is not how the show works. The show works that I need to definitively know whether or not Markelle Fultz is a bust seven games into his second season as a player.
Well, he only played how many games his now. First season.
The thing I will say about Fultz, his athleticism is really, really good. Like, when you see that, you'll see those little moments there where you're like, ooh, that looks like a really good NBA two guard. You know, but at 8 points, just under four rebounds, under four assists, you know, he averages more than a steal per game. But, yeah, there are definitely worries, you know, especially with his shot because of all the drama he went through. He does shoot 50% from the three-point line, but he doesn't take a lot of threes.
The problem is... He needs the ball, and that team doesn't fit him because Ben Simmons has to have the ball. Ben Simmons without the ball, what good is he? What good is he as a point forward? And let's just say he's a three. What good is he if he's away? What can he possibly do? Nothing. He can't shoot for anything, so he needs to have the ball. And yeah. The problem. You have all these number one picks. Let's just all get all this talent. You need to have a chemistry. Well, you have J.J. Redick's your shooter. Okay, mm-hmm. Markell's not the shooter. He's not the guy with the ball. Are you?
And they seem a little over reliant on Redick these days.
They seem a little bit desperate.
Yeah, but I mean they're still a good team. I would say I would go on the fake side here for now, but I do have worries about Fultz's offensive efficiency going forward. I do think there are red flags. It's not one of these things where he had some mental hurdles his rookie year. He got over the hump, and now he's back to he's kind of back to his regular progression. I do have worries about Markelle Fultz. Do you have the same worries?
On that team, yes. That's the problem. He needs to be a... He's not a complimentary piece of that team. You have Embiid, who's going out shooting threes. You have Saric, who's, you know, sort of the roamer.
Saric's shooting has been awful to start. That's the only one issue there.
And there's no bench in that team. It's just, well, we have our big, you know, our number one picks and our high lottery picks. Okay, guys, go play.
All right, here's the next one. I mean, now you got to think about this one because I was looking at point differential and this one really stood out. So just kind of bear with me here when I say this and don't laugh in my face the moment I say it. The Milwaukee Bucks are better than the Golden State Warriors and the Toronto Raptors.
That doesn't, you know, statistics are one thing. Statistics also said like the Detroit Pistons and San Antonio Spurs were like the worst offensive teams of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean, you know, because you're pounding on. I don't even know who the schedules were. For all I know, Milwaukee could have been playing Cleveland.
Well, I know they played Orlando, and I believe they blew out the Thunder. It was one of the games.
All I can say about Milwaukee is I was the one who said don't sleep on them. Now that they mm-hmm. have a real coach and an MVP type Giannis leap, mm-hmm. They might be a little dangerous now, as opposed to, well, let's throw Thon Maker in there as a starter and put him in for 15 minutes. I'm gonna give you
a schedule right now. At Charlotte, which was the close one where Kemba almost won it at the end. Pacers, Knicks, Sixers, those were all at home. At Minnesota, that was the blowout when I was thinking about. Then the Magic, they beat by a good amount. They actually played Toronto on Monday. So if, for those people who want to be on the lookout for a game coming up, that might be one to keep an eye on. But what are they doing differently is really – I could see from the statistics that three-point shooting has definitely gone up. A lot of – I mean, it's bud ball, so it's a lot of evening out with the distribution. But Giannis Antetokounmpo is also averaging like 14 rebounds a game.
He is everywhere at once. Brandon Knight hasn't been anything. It seems to be a little more balanced, and I think you picked it where you said DiVincenzo fits that team, and he does
because he gave him the 3-point shooting that they were going to bolster. You know,
which they didn't really because Chris Milton's not the 3-point shooter. Dellavedova is just a defensive guy, so he gives you that JJ Redick option.
But they've just been on a nice roll. I will say this. I'll be on the fake side with this one. The one thing about the Warriors, I mean, we don't have to touch on it too much. We can mention the fact that Steph Curry had that ridiculous game against the Wizards where he just went bananas in the first three quarters. What was it, like 51 points?
Yeah.
Just an absolute blistering performance. And then Durant kind of followed suit right after that in the Garden against the Knicks. I wonder if Durant and Curry are having a bit of a pissing contest. But here's the thing I worry about with the Warriors. There's actually two things. One, I feel like the Curry-Durant usage is starting to get a little lopsided. And two, they're 14th right now in three-pointers made. And, I mean, I know that their efficiency and their three-point field goal percentage is still very, very high. But I just wonder if they play a team that can really drain it from the three-point line, if that might be their downfall.
It doesn't matter how many – what number – you know, they're 14th and made. Yeah, but if they're shooting it at, like, 50% clips, that's a lot easier to swallow.
They're in the top five in the three-point
field. Yeah, they're in the top five. And just watching them play, they look disinterested again. Like, they're not – they don't look like they're trying too hard.
It definitely felt like that in opening night against the Thunder. Like when I was watching him, Westbrook didn't play in that game. We'll get to the Thunder in a minute. But it did feel like they were kind of like coasting in. They had that one game against Denver. Denver came ready to play, and I felt like the Warriors just kind of like you said, they sort of like were lethargic through the whole thing. And then they kind of got a fire up under their butt later on after that loss. But the thing is, I don't want to say that about the Warriors yet, but the Raptors and the Bucks, I'm not sure, but the Raptors look – Toronto looks really, really good.
Toronto looks like they're on a mission. They look like they
– like Lowry's averaging 10 assists a game. Their defense on the bench, off the bench, is really, really good. Not a lot of teams have even been close against them, to be honest.
No,
they played Boston really early, and the Toronto pulled away in the second half, but – They do look impressive when you watch them.
Having, you know, Green out there as sort of a third option is, because DeRozan for Kawhi, I get it. But getting Green is a little bonus kicker in there for you. And, you know, having Kawhi opens up, Valanciunas seems to have found a little more pep in his step. And Serge Ibaka is, I guess, I don't want to say he's back, but he doesn't look like he's regressing any further, and this just looks like a team who wants to play, and they look inspired.
Yeah. Now the one thing I'll say, they play Cleveland, I would say a middling Charlotte Hornets team. Like Charlotte to me right now is the definition of a middle of the pack team. Minnesota, who they also beat, I don't know what the Timberwolves are. I don't really have a topic for them. I guess we could just talk about something with Jimmy Butler, where I'll just throw it out there. Jimmy Butler will be traded by the end of November, like, or something like that. Like what do you think about, first of all, do you think that would be fake news? And two, what do you think of this whole morality play going on in Minnesota?
Minnesota is just a dumpster fire right now that appears to be all. This is what Thibodeau sort of built himself.
Mm-hmm.
Of, I want the Bulls, and then, well, it's not, it's seeming to backfire really fast on you. And
because it's not 2011. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
You got all the players for 2011 and you have these young kids who aren't developing. I don't want to say they're regressing, but they're not really taking these steps because
I'll say Carl Anthony Towns is regressing.
Because you're deferring everything has to defer to Butler and his, you know, I get his competitive spirit, but these are the one and done kids. Butler was a 4-year player. He's of a different ilk, and the same thing with, you know, Noah was a back to back champion, or were they a three-peater? Florida three-peater back to back.
Florida?
Yeah.
Back to back.
Okay, so yeah, he was a junior back to back. Butler, they had that work ethic. All of a sudden, these kids are like, yeah, we got that shoe money. We're good.
Well, also, I don't think the idea of having Derrick Rose attempt double digit shot attempts per game is a good idea either. Especially when you have guys like Jeff Teague and Karl Towns and other people that you can actually rely on to take those shots. That's kind of worrying.
Well, that's the thing is you run Rubio out to bring in Teague. You have Tyus Jones in there as your developmental point guard. So let's bring in Derrick Rose and give him 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make
sense. And then Jimmy Butler plays fantastic and you rest him. You rest him in the first week of the season. Like I've never heard. Listen. We have seen rest early on in the season for some players, where they'll do where they'll try to avoid back to backs. But Jesus Christ, can we just please just have the stars all play the October games? Is that enough? Is that too much to ask?
I think that was. I don't think it was a rest. I think it was. We have a.
It was an FU. It was a giant middle finger to Jimmy Butler for playing well. That's what it was.
It was either one of those or it was we think we have a trade and we need to sit you immediately just in case this trade takes off and you tear your ACL and screw us up. But moving on to that real quick.
Yeah, because this is the whole point of the hot, whether or not it's fake news. What do you think this rumor? There's two out there. Number one, that Miami has reopened the idea of getting Jimmy Butler or Josh Richardson, I guess, would be involved in that trade. The other is that the Houston Rockets have on the table a proposed trade where they would give up 4 first-round draft picks. Now, some people would say, how is that possible? Well, you do the in-between years with swap rights. So there is a way to do that. How do you feel about the Houston one to start?
At first, I was like, that's crazy for Houston. I mean, why isn't Minnesota jumping on it? And then I had to think about it, and I'm like, I don't think Houston's first-round picks are worth that much.
Depends on how good they are for the next.
Well, you have to figure.
Years.
It's 8 years, so this year's pick will be 28th. Predict, you know, the way it goes, the way everything thinks it'll be conference finals. It'll be 28th next year. You know, in 3 years, who knows? But at the same time, you're going to have all these players getting old, super old, and then their contracts are, you know, they're gonna degrade really fast. So that those later picks might be valuable, but don't forget, in order to do that, you have to give up, you have to take Brandon Knight's negative money, and then Marquise Chris, who is, you know, he was a number 8 pick, I think, so he's making about $5 million. You pick up his option, you have 2 more years of him and 2 more years of Brandon Knight. You have to give a pick or two just to take Brandon Knight's 2 years of guaranteed money left. So that's why I don't think the picks are that high, but there's 4 of them. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I'm not sure. Like the one that I think is that with Houston, I think it's a giant risk. That's just my opinion of the Houston one. I know that some people would say those are low picks, but I just feel like you're just bargaining. You're giving away the future. I don't want to say this is Brooklyn Billy King because that's the first thing people immediately think of. This is going to be the disastrous deal that's going to ruin the franchise if your established players all bail on you or they try to trade out because your team stinks. And by the way, the Houston Rockets are not playing well either. So
no, their loss of Trevor Ariza and just let's put Carmelo Anthony, who hasn't been good, and really just having a big hole in the 3 spot.
Well, you know, people have been picking on the defense because they're immediately pointing at Melo. Oh, you see, with Melo in there, they can't play defense. That's actually not the biggest problem for Houston, because a lot of people look at these numbers, and we'll get to this in a second about the scoring. I don't think defense is necessarily the biggest problem for Houston. It's their shooting. They have not shot the ball well at all to start the season. That's the biggest problem with the Rockets.
And
also
the fact that
Chris Paul got into a fight and he was suspended for 2 games.
Well,
probably
Chris,
should be longer.
We're not going to get into that, but nobody's coming to the defense of Chris Paul.
No.
Not one person around the league is like, you know what, Chris Paul's a good dude. Even Doc Rivers was like, yeah, I didn't like him.
Didn't Glenn Davis call him a bad teammate?
Glenn Davis called him a bad teammate. Somebody else who another.
I did love what supposedly he called Rondo. He called him a turtle. I did like because no, that's not too far off. But a lot of people felt like, oh, this is Paul using his player union power because he's a higher up in the union, and that he only got 2-game suspension while Rondo got 3. Now Brandon Ingram getting what was it, four games, that was fine because he instigated it and he also went back into it and threw punches aimlessly. So yes, he deserved 4 games.
He deserved more. They all deserved a little bit more. 4, 3, and 2 were a little low. I thought it would have been, you know, 10 and 10 and 7s, but like 4 is like, huh, that's, you know, it's like, well, it stayed on the court, and well, there was really no need for any of that. And
no, it was all stupidness.
It was all stupid. You know, but none of this would happen if Ingram wasn't just stupid.
Yeah, he was angry. I don't know what he must have just been super fired up. That was their first home game at Staples, and he was just really juiced. We can kind of transition this to the Lakers. I can go 2 different ways with the fake news or the real news, but I'll go with the more conventional. News line that we've heard about the Lakers in the national media, which a lot of people find hypocritical, because say if the Pelicans, my Pelicans, were struggling, they would be pushing the panic button several times, saying that Anthony Davis needs to be traded right now. But let me give you this take, and you tell me if it's real or fake news. The Lakers are fine. There's nothing to see here. LeBron will right the ship eventually.
Oh, that's fake news, but we also said half this team will be gone by the trade deadline. The other half will be gone by the end of the year. So this team, these players we see now are all just basic tryouts, I think.
But I mean, what I'm saying is that do you feel like the people who are just overtly optimistic about LeBron's arrival with the in LA, that they're sort of masking a lot of the problems that typical Hollywood. They're masking a lot of the problems that we already knew pre-existed because they're just not shooting the 3-ball well. They had one game against the Spurs where they made 13 threes, but they still lost the game. They've actually played the Spurs twice already this year and lost both of them. But I do feel like a lot of people are just a little bit too much on the half-full side of the cup and saying, oh, no, it's going to be all right. LeBron's pumping out numbers. We lost Rondo to the fight and Ingram to the fight. Once everybody is back and, you know, and kind of in the groove of it and following LeBron's lead, they're going to be okay. And I'm not absolutely sure about that.
Those people, A, weren't there last year, so they don't even know who these young kids are.
Are you telling me that Laker fans are bandwagon fans? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I didn't say Lakers fans. I said these are just LeBron fans.
Okay.
The Laker fans, some are bandwagoners, some are not, but they got sort of excited for Lonzo Ball, so they know Ball and Ingram and Kuzma. This is just all the LeBron, you know, I'm trendy, the trendy people.
Yeah. LeBron's numbers are fantastic, except for his 3-point shooting. He's shooting 29%, which is not good. But I've watched them a few times. I saw the game where they beat the Nuggets on TNT. That was a good outing. The Nuggets have looked really good. We can talk about them in passing somewhere along the way. But there's just a lot of things about that Laker team that just I'm just not absolutely sure about. The pieces just definitely don't fit. I do like Josh Hart. I think Josh Hart is actually fit really well with LeBron. I think it's one of those things where when LeBron likes somebody, then it kind of enables that player to play better than he normally does. And Josh Hart's definitely one of those guys.
Josh Hart is. I don't see how Ingram and Ball are.
Yeah, somebody's got to go. Between Kuzma, Ingram, Ball, and Hart, somebody's got to go. I don't know who it is, though. You know. Let's just hit on the Thunder. Here's the hot take. Billy Donovan will be out of a job before Christmas.
It's starting to look that way. I mean, okay. There's only so much you could do without Roberson, and then you gutted, I don't want to say you gutted, but you moved things to get, you moved your bench around to get Carmelo in, and then you dump your Carmelo for a Dennis Schroeder, who basically has been what we sort of thought he is, just he's there.
His shooting has been abysmal. Like, he's in the 30s, and so is Paul George. You know, that's the thing that people don't remember. Like, people are still hung up on, oh, Paul George re-signed here. He's here for the long haul. We're going to be fine. Paul George is not shooting the ball well so far. That's the one big worry there. And Schroeder is not either.
I want to say it's fake news now because you have Terrence Ferguson who's starting, and then you have Hamidou Diallo who's getting a lot of minutes too. Once Roberson comes back, neither of those guys are gonna get. They're gonna be in the Oklahoma City Blue.
Yes.
So.
We didn't hit on this because this was right before opening night. But Andre Robertson's knee injury is lingering much much longer than expected, and he's supposed to be out for like another month to 2 months.
Yeah, and that's what I think they didn't expect and didn't plan for. So that's you know, he's your defensive guy. They have nobody else to really do that. Nerlens Noel, unfortunately, hasn't really done anything there either.
No, it's just the same. I did predict that Steven Adams should average a double-double, and he's on his way there. So that's good. That's something.
He's doing what he can, but without that, you have, you know, you got George and, George and West, but there's no other pieces. There's no other.
Well, you're definitely not getting it from Patrick Patterson, okay, and other guys like that.
Sabonis was your starting power forward 2 years ago. He was out of place, but he was there. You gutted your team, and this is what you have because Supermax money.
And we talked about this in the team preview because of the years. You know, you have a lot of these teams that have 2019 free agency expirations. This one doesn't. This is 2 years. So you are locked into this team next year. You have no choice but to deal with what you have. You can make some small trades, but guys like Jeremy Grant and, of course, Westbrook and George and Steven Adams, this is it. Like, this is what you're going to have to learn to live with.
This is what you hope your scouting department is your lifeblood, because you have nothing else other than to discover these G League players, these second-round picks, these just diamonds in the rough, if you will.
Mm-hmm. A few small things I'll say, you know, the one, I mean, before we can hit on some other, like, small, like, topics or hot takes, is that defensively, the Spurs are definitely taking a little bit of a dip, but offensively, they've actually picked up some steam with DeRozan. That's just smart coaching, in my opinion, you know, where they just realize, okay, we have a really good high-usage guard / forward. Let's just make the best use out of it that we can. And they are. You know, I feel like him, and I think Rudy Gay has actually been rebounding the ball really well for them.
I think that's not going to last just because of the age.
What do you think is not going to last? The offense for the Spurs?
Offense for the Spurs, because eventually you're going to have to start resting players, as they tend to do earlier than later.
Do you think the Nuggets are paper champions right now? Fifth in points allowed. They're 12th in points per game. Jokic looks fantastic. Gary Harris is averaging 19 a game. It seems like they have a very well thought out system on the subs and who starts. Like, how do you feel about that team?
They were the ones we said, now that they got rid of that log jam, give your people defined positions, give your people defined minutes, you should be good, and they sort of are.
Yeah, the Will Barton injury is obviously worrying. He had a hip injury in the second game of the season, and he's out. But Juancho Hernan Gomez is already getting playing time. Jamal Murray is my dude. I said he'd average 20 a game. He's at 15 because somewhere along the way he had like a 3-point game. Classic Jamal Murray. But the Joker is fantastic. I mean, you watch him and you're just like, man, I wish I had a guy like that on. I wish I had a guy like that on every team that I watch.
They are looking good.
The Pelicans, their warp speed offense will they will run out of gas midway through the season. That's the hot take I'll give you. Real or fake?
Oh, I thought that was your scoop, that they will.
Oh, no, no, no. Do you think that they will – do you think the offensive leniency will catch up to them with Anthony Davis, Nikola Mirotic averaging 6 3-point attempts per game, Drew Holiday having a green light to run the point? Like, how do you feel about that team right now?
You seem to like Elfrid Payton there.
Because he's not taking a lot of shots. Which is exactly what he should have been designed for. He's an assist man who plays defense. Julius Randle fits really nicely with Davis. And Mirotic just has like the neon green light to take shots.
They seem to have a nice system going there. Mm-hmm. Who did they just trade? The start of the season, they got somebody from the Clippers.
Wesley Johnson, who they actually had to play a little bit against the Jazz because Davis had like a issue with his wrist. So I think it was because it was a back-to-back. They just didn't want to play him back-to-back games. But
so you got Wesley Johnson, you got a little more size. You got rid of Alexei Gajinka. So
Frank Jackson sighting. Mm-hmm.
I heard he's alive. I didn't
we got to find a way. I see we have to find a way to get rid of Solomon Hill. I don't know how it's going to happen. But if you want to make the next step, if you want to be a big boy team, that's the next step, you know. And also, you have to pray Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt because your backup center is Chick Diallo. That's the other worry.
No, Chick Diallo for some reason still doesn't get minutes. Like they go out of their way just to not play him. It seems.
Well, they try to go small because with the fast pace, they think they can go small. And you know, usually it does work, but in some cases, like especially against the Jazz, who have just like giant trees of man out there like Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors, like you can't get away with that. The other thing, I'll give you this one. The Wizards are last in scoring defense. I'll just put it in this framework and you can tell me if it's real or fake. The Wizards are on the precipice of an early season meltdown.
No, we called this from the get-go. This.
So you're saying this is real?
Just team dysfunction, and then I'm like, well, they could either be, you know, the championship contenders, or they could just fall apart immediately. And, you know, all of a sudden, Dwight Howard, oh, my back hurts before the season starts, and then no cohesion and no bench, and the team just doesn't look like they want to be a team.
They could not make a deal for Kelly Oubre in restricted free agency. We sort of predicted that because they were just so far into the tax, like that there was just no way of making the room. So they're just going to wait it out. Oubre's playing well, you know, alongside Porter, but you know, like we always keep talking about, their cap issue is what's killing them, you know, with the salaries in front of them. That's the team that gave up the 51 points to Curry, by the way. And that probably lends to the fact that they had the bad scoring defense. I'll give you another one. And this is just more league wide. Scoring is out of control in the NBA.
Oh, that is true. Nobody's playing defense
anymore. Now, let me tell you this. In 2008, Andrew would have slapped this Andrew in the face because you and I went through an era where final scores were like in the 70s and 80s, and they were rock fights. You know, and to be truthful, we're not that far removed from that era either in like 2011, 12, 13, where the Miami Heat were winning titles primarily with defense, and a lot of games were, if you were lucky, got into the high 90s in the playoffs. And now we're seeing these games early in the season where no one is playing defense. We just saw a Spurs-Laker game that went into the 140s. I don't even know how that's possible. Like, what's your take on it?
This is, I think, due to the shortened preseason, and then just, well, I don't want to get ticky-tack fouls.
What about the offensive rebound shot clock rule change with the 14 seconds? Do you think that's been part of it?
That requires teams doing offensive rebounds, but they don't because they all just shoot threes.
Yeah, but there's so many missed threes because there's so many attempts, you know?
Yeah, but just nobody's playing D now because there's no impetus to play D. Once mm-hmm. we get down to crunch time and once, you know, once the schedules get a little tight, now it's just, okay, let's all sort of learn. They're all sort of practicing against. It seems like one big scrimmage. There's no urgency.
The last men on earth in that, you know, with the defense first mentality to me is Boston. Like, I don't know if you agree with that. So Memphis's defensive numbers, even though they're a pretty bad team, are still really good. You know, the Spurs have always subscribed to that philosophy of defense first, but Boston really, really commits to it still to this day.
You gotta trust in Brad Stevens. That's all I can say.
I'll say this too. Maybe we could do this for we could really talk about this for another day. I feel like a lot of the people that have the questions about playing back-to-back games, playing too many games, trying to space out the schedule. That's why the season starts 2 weeks earlier than it usually did, and that we're trying to find these ways to solve having to not risk players' health as much. Has anybody ever thought about the fact that increasing the number of possessions actually increases the risk of injury too? So by trying to vault scoring on the way up, you're actually causing more harm to the players by making more possessions?
No, because you could get injured just playing defense. You get injured doing anything, so.
Mm-hmm. It's just a general question. It's just kind of a generality that I noticed. I was thinking, man, these games are going really, really fast, you know, and I wonder if that can lend a more risk of injuries. Now, listen, the NBA, like, higher-ups are not complaining. More possessions, more highlights. More threes, more missed shots, and more fast break. Look, no one's going to complain about that. Okay, but I do feel like there is a point where, you know, just like it was with defense after the Malice in the Palace, where you got to get to there's a break point or a choke. What do they call it? A choke point where it's like, all right, now everybody's averaging 120 points a game. Something's got to we got to dial it back a little bit. Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I think so.
But what's the solution there? Like, what do you have to do?
Teams just need to play defense. That's all.
Well, what you know what's going to have to happen.
Players have to want to play defense.
Well, not only that, a team that plays primarily defense has to win championships. Like, that's the next thing. It's a copycat league. So when you're watching the Golden State Warriors bomb threes and win championships, of course you're going to copy that. I'll give you one more, and then we could just kind of talk about some really small stuff and get out of here. Trae Young and Luka Doncic is the rookie showdown, and it's not even close. The Rookie of the Year showdown.
No.
Okay, who's still in there?
Ayton.
DeAndre Ayton. I'm not questioning it. I'm not questioning it with my tone. I'm just asking.
Ayton.
Okay. Have you noticed anybody else that's really, really stood out for you out of that rookie crop? Jaren Jackson Jr. has looked good on defense. I'll say that.
Yeah, but he's getting limited minutes there.
That's true.
Bagley, limited minutes.
Rebounding machine, though, Bagley is.
Yeah, You like Miles Bridges?
He's a highlight reel. I mean, I saw that in Michigan State. You know, he was a dunking machine, but he just fits nicely in the mold of an NBA player. I'm an NBA forward. I guess a slasher is what you would call him. So I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that you mentioned. Hami Diallo, but that's more of like a Band-Aid type of a minutes play. That's not necessarily like
Harry Giles has shown a pulse.
Yeah, he got his option picked up by the Kings. What do you think of De'Aaron Fox?
He's still speedy.
Yeah, but he's picking up his production. And the Kings are 3-3, so big high five to my guy Todd Weber there. They're not god-awful yet. So
no, they're not god-awful. It's just they have 17 power forwards. And it's funny, you know, Scalabissier was their starting power forward. Now he's getting just garbage time minutes. More or less.
Mm-hmm.
But just going back to Trae Young, there are games he's still shooting terribly, and then they'll have one good game.
He's like in the low 40s, which is not good for a guard, of course.
Luka is just sort of off the charts of just his intelligence and don't like looking like he can be on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. But
I'm just thinking of – I just remembered one. Wendell Carter Jr. has played well for Chicago. But we also know the fact that they've had a real hurting with injuries with Chris Dunn going out like the first or second game of the season. And then Bobby Portis had the same exact injury. So they're both out for like
Portis,
a month.
Portis, Dunn, and Markkanen. And I think that's sort of the story so far with the rookies is if they're starting, you have major, major problems because – when you mentioned Wendell Carter, we've seen Josh Okogie, we've seen Kevin Huerter, Chandler Hutchinson started the game.
We've seen everybody already for Atlanta because that team is a glorified G League team, to be honest with you.
But the fact that they're getting starts this soon, not a good look.
Well, it also just shows that this tendency to just immediately embrace rest. It's like, and I just, it just really, maybe it's the classical fan in me. I just can't stand the fact that we're giving people rest on back to backs, literally as the season begins. It just bothers the shit out of me.
That's another topic for another day. We could delve into that more deep. Now we're just first look.
I'll tell you too that I've kept an eye on that I really like. Caris LeVert has played really well for Brooklyn. I would actually argue that he's better than D'Angelo Russell.
Okay.
We'll just keep that noted. Zach LaVine, what's going on here? 29 points a game?
He's the only healthy one left in Chicago. No one else is going to shoot. Parker doesn't look like he's that good of a fit there, which we all sort of saw.
You know, with Parker, the same issue I have with Dennis Smith Jr. I feel like it's the same when I watch him. Jonathan Isaac, same thing. I don't feel like there's been an improvement so far. Now, obviously, Smith and Isaac are second-year players. Jabari Parker's been in the league for four seasons. So that's different.
And the one thing I noticed, Charlotte may have finally figured it out.
They're playing a little faster, and they're taking a lot more threes under James Brady.
Kid Gilchrist is now on the bench, and they're having Jeremy Lamb play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Malik Monk's still MIA.
Yeah.
But they've figured it out. You can't have the same player with him and Batum still. No, yeah, him and Batum. You can't have them both there. So Carter's like, I'll just go to the bench. And him and Bridges and the whole second unit have been doing things. And, you know, this team looks like they sort of can grow.
There's one problem with Charlotte. Kemba Walker is on like a Russell Westbrook level of usage rate. Like, it's incredibly lopsided. He's averaging 31 a game, Lamb's the next one at 11, and on down. Like, that is scary. Like, if Walker gets hurt, you're done.
Oh, yeah, which we all knew. But I'm just saying, we said with a lot of these teams, it's just you can't – redundancy is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And they might have figured out – also, on a sad note, it seems that the Frank Kaminsky era is going to be over in Charlotte because he's just been getting healthy scratches.
Mm-hmm.
So far.
Biombo, too. Oh, I mean, he's getting blocks, but he very rarely plays, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, there's really no room for him, and, you know, Hernan Gomez has been getting some minutes finally. But, yeah, it's just Frank. It's like, well, you're a center, and you're out of the rotation, which, you know, I feel bad for him. It wasn't his fault they picked him.
Blake Griffin, I mean, listen, this I keep talking about that contract once we get to, like, 2022. It's going to be hell on earth for the Pistons. But, I mean, it's seeming really good right now for them.
Hey, though we said he was good, it's just we'll wait till December when he tears something.
Well, also, Drummond's averaging 18 a game, which is very nice to look at. He's also averaging more blocks than he is steals, which I've always criticized him for. I wanted him to play more like a big man, and he actually is.
We never said Detroit was a terrible team, though.
No, when Winkie's there, yeah. Domantas Sabonis, nice. He'll be an MIP candidate just alongside Caris LeVert. Rodney Magruder, where did he come from?
Oh, we're not going to get into Sioux Miami Falls. In there.
Yeah, but I like. Well, who knows? He might be the next Minnesota Timberwolf. All right, so that's pretty much it, huh?
That's the season just started. These are some early opinions.
Yeah, but you know, some like we like the theme of the show. I think some of these will stick. I think we'll go back and listen to some of these, all 80 of our fans and listeners, and we'll go back and say, "Man, that actually held true." So you never know. But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Riesch, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. We will see you again very soon.
See ya.